Welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morses to Zion's Poor.
God had plainly told Adam not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which he had established in the garden. He also declared what would occur when he ate of it. There were no ifs involved, either in the prohibition or the outcome of his disobedience. It is part of the natural disposition of men to desire knowledge. This quest for knowledge and wisdom is not in itself sinful. Yet as with all other things which the Lord has put at man's disposal, his natural disposition is to use those things in a sinful manner, and to suppose himself to possess a certain degree of wisdom, which enables him to develop his own philosophy and standards, which he would prefer to those of God. Satan appealed to this natural desire for knowledge when he introduced a lingering thought into Eve's mind, subtly questioning the sovereign right of God to do with his own as he wills. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Now while she is pondering this nagging question, which he had initiated, Satan tells the first and greatest lie ever introduced to men: "Ye shall not surely die." Thus he began weaving his web of deceit, by accusing God of unfairly keeping something from them which they surely deserve, and which will enable them to be on an equal footing with God. In essence saying, what right does he have to prohibit you from this quest of knowledge? He owes you a fair chance and a square deal. Because of her weakness and his subtlety, she was deceived thereby and ate the fruit. She then gave the fruit to Adam, who ate it willingly and knowingly, demonstrating his love of the flesh and his desire to know what he had no business seeking out. Thus is manifested the carnal pride and presumption of men, that they can, by their own wisdom, search out and find the way of God. He demonstrated Paul's words, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." Man's desire to design his own religion and develop his own philosophy is rooted in his conceited opinion of his worth and supposed wisdom, which he has inherited from Adam. At the heart of this desire is the denial of the very principle which Satan cleverly deceived the woman with, saying, "Ye shall not surely die." Practically all of the religions of men, in one fashion or another, believe that men possess an innate immortality. Along with man's natural belief in his own immortality is a deeply rooted notion that he possesses a free will, which is for all intents and purposes sovereign, since he believes that even God himself does not possess the right or ability to control it. Man goes about strutting and preening in his wisdom, natural understanding, and fleshly religion, supposing that he can approach God in the power of his own free will. Men never grow weary in their determination to worship God on their own terms and choosing. Man, in his supposed wisdom, does not consider that the work of Christ alone is sufficient for the salvation of his people. The preachers of modern religion speak of Christ as having made salvation possible, but that only man by his free will can make it complete by believing it. This is not the preaching of the cross, but is a mongrel religion which tries to amalgamate the work of God and the work of men. To cling to such delusions is to perish. If the work of Christ on Calvary's cross is not sufficient to purchase the eternal redemption of his people, how could men in any wise complete it?
If you'd like a free transcript of this broadcast, email us at forthepoor@windstream.net. That's forthepoor@windstream.net.